So good afternoon. I would like to thank the Collège de France and Santé Publique France and Rémy for his invitation to speak today about ambient temperature and its potential impact on pregnancy outcomes and perinatal outcomes in this very timely workshop. I'm going to review the literature and point out to some of the challenges the field has to face. So there is a large scientific literature demonstrating the direct effect of heat and cold on health. And this is expected to rise because of climate change and because of urbanization, as most of the population lives in urban areas. And this is also expected to increase. And these urban areas are usually warmer than the surrounding areas and the surrounding countryside, especially at night. And this is the so-called urban heat island effect. In terms of perinatal outcomes, there is very little known on the effect of temperature on perinatal outcomes. But such studies are very crucial because the perinatal period is a very sensitive window. There is a very large literature in terms of looking at environmental, the effects of environmental factors in the broad sense on the health of the mother and the fetus on the short term, but also on the health of the developing child and also during adulthood and chronic diseases. And these adverse birth outcomes are increasingly considered as major health risk for the child. For example, preterm birth and low birth weight are associated with increased risk of morbidity and mortality through life. And these, the prevalence of these outcomes is increasing, especially for preterm birth in many countries, including France, as you can see here, with a rise of 2 points in the last 20 years. Although there is this increase in terms of prevalence in preterm birth or low birth weight, there was very few publications on the topic of temperature and pregnancy outcomes, at least until 2015, and then there is this sharp increase in the number of publications. Most of them rely on data from high-income countries, mainly in Europe and the USA, and also some in China. And most of this work is focused on preterm birth, some also on low birth weight, stillbirth, but as you can see, there are also many, many other outcomes during pregnancy that are very understudied. And although this field is increasing and developing, there are many challenges that we need to work on and questions we need to answer in order to move forward in our in the characterization of the effect of temperature on pregnancy outcomes and more generally perinatal outcomes, and to better prevent these effects. And I will come back later in more detail to some of these challenges, but the main one of the main one is some methodological heterogeneity. There are many temperature metrics and many definitions of heat waves, which makes it difficult to have consistent results across studies. The windows of susceptibility are, at least until now, have been poorly investigated. For example, most of the studies on preterm birth and stillbirth investigated acute effect, which means they've looked at daily exposure just before birth, without taking into account more chronic exposure from conception or even before conception. The reproductive epidemiology field by itself is also a quite complex one with many outcomes and many definitions, with statistical methodology problems when it comes to studying gestational duration or preterm birth. There is also a large literature in terms of looking at the effects of environmental factors, which might have a differential effect in male and female fetuses, while when looking at temperature, there are a very small number of studies looking at potential differences between male and females. So here are the results from a recent meta-analysis on preterm birth and a few other adverse birth outcomes by Churdish and colleagues, and they've shown that there was an increase in the risk of preterm birth by 16% associated with heat wave exposure during pregnancy. And when looking at temperature more continuously in terms of degrees of increase, they've shown that there was an increase in the risk of preterm birth by 5% associated with each 1 degree increase in exposure to temperature during pregnancy. And for other outcomes, for example, low birth weight, they've shown an increase by 9% of the risk of low birth weight, which is a baby born with a weight less than 2,500 grams, a multiplication by around 3 of the risk of stillbirth associated with exposure to high temperature during pregnancy compared to women who were exposed to low temperature, and an average decrease by 25 grams in birth weight for women exposed to high temperature. A very recent study confirmed this result, as you can see here. So this study was conducted in the temperate region of New South Wales in Australia. And again, here they have quite consistent results, and they showed an increase by 16% of the risk of spontaneous preterm birth associated with exposure to high temperature in the 7 days before birth. And more interestingly, they also shown some susceptibility factors, including any chronic illness like diabetes or hypertension or even smoking during pregnancy. The women who had these chronic diseases or who were smoking were more susceptible to the effect of temperature on preterm birth. This was already suggested by some studies in California. And this type of result is very important in terms of to inform the pregnant woman and the health professional of this increased risk. In a hot climate, this time in Texas, again, this is a very recent study. Here they shown this increased risk in preterm birth also, but this risk was almost multiplied by 3 when it comes to very preterm birth, which is a birth occurring before 28 weeks of gestation. For women exposed to temperature higher than 40 degrees compared to women who were exposed to temperature less than 20 degrees. And an interesting result also in this study was the stronger association for mothers living in neighborhoods with higher levels of deprivation, which has a high implication in terms of environmental justice and also in terms of local actions that could be taken to mitigate these health effects of high temperature. So these studies were conducted in high-income countries. And the low and middle income countries are probably those that have the bigger impact because they have the highest rates of adverse birth outcomes. And also they lack some infrastructure to really deal with this high temperature. And here is a study just published which showed also an increased risk in preterm birth associated with high temperature, but also an increased risk of stillbirth. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't see all. There should be a confidence interval here, showing that there is an increased risk of stillbirth associated with exposure to higher temperature, temperature higher than 20 degrees. So, as I said, in terms of exposure metrics in all of these studies, there are very heterogeneous metrics that are used. One of the issues also is the spatial resolution. Until recently, most studies relied on temperature data from weather monitoring station or from airport station. So these data are very good because they have Hawley measurements, which provide a high temporal resolution. But in terms of spatial coverage, it's very poor. You have an example here in the Grenoble area where our team of research is located. There are five monitors, five weather monitors. So when it comes to estimating or identifying urban heat island, those five monitors are really not enough and not efficient. And also, it's very difficult to study rural population with this kind of monitor, which are often located in urban areas. So this makes some error in exposure assessment and also in the estimate in terms of association with health. There are some alternative exposure models, including physical models that are quite complex and costly to develop. Some statistical models incorporating satellite data have been developed in the recent years, and we've developed one of them with some colleagues in Israel, using the land surface temperature data from Aqua and Terra satellites using the MODIS product, which provide 1 kilometer spatial resolution land surface temperature daily. And we combine them with some Landsat thermal data to improve the spatial resolution to 200 meter. In this way, we were able to reconstruct the exposure, the temperature exposure daily from 2000 to 2018 with 1 kilometer spatial resolution for the whole metropolitan territory and with a 200 meter spatial resolution for large urban area with very good performances, as you can see here. So this type of modeling decrease the error in terms of exposure assessment. It also provide some data that cover large areas and time periods, which is very important when we work on cohorts that are all over the place and that are follow-upped during a large time, during a long time. The very high spatial and temporal resolution makes it possible to identify urban heat island. And of course, there are also some limitations with technical issues such as cloudy days, but which are not, which is possible to overcome. So we then used this temperature exposure model to study the association with preterm births in three mother-child cohorts in France. And what we, so the nice thing with this type of modeling is that we were able to reconstruct the weekly exposure of the woman during pregnancy from conception onwards, and also the daily exposure from birth until 30 days before birth. So we were able to investigate chronic exposure and acute exposure. And here we found a significant increase in the risk of preterm birth associated with heat, heat exposure from the conception until week 5 of pregnancy, and towards the end of the second trimester from week 20 to week 26. And we also found an association with cold, during the middle of the pregnancy, which was associated with an increased risk in preterm birth, and also an effect of acute exposure to cold on the risk of preterm birth. So we show here that these chronic and acute windows might exist, these windows of vulnerability, both for cold and for heat. This is very important to better identify this kind of windows of vulnerability. Here, the clearest association was here for nighttime heat, which is consistent with some studies performed in California and Belgium, but also which echoes some results from mortality studies, which show that hot nights following hot days were more dangerous because it's more difficult to recover from daily from diurnal exposure. And interestingly, in this study, we also looked at temperature variability and heat waves and didn't find any association with preterm birth. We also looked in that same cohort to the association with term birth weights this time. And here, we've shown an effect of temperature variability, but not mean temperature. And this effect was more pronounced in boys, actually, and we can see it in girls, with a decreased birth weight of about 125 grams associated with an increased exposure to temperature variability from week 0 to week 20 or 21 during pregnancy. This is a very nice study published recently also on term birth weight in Israel. The authors found here an effect of both cold and heat. The effect of cold was more towards the end of the pregnancy and decreased birth weight. And the effect of heat was more on the beginning and the end of the second trimester. Unfortunately, they did not explore sex-specific effects. So what about beyond birth? I would say that for now, this is a very burgeoning literature. A very recent study published indicated an association between heat exposure during the first year of life and rapid infant weight gain. And in our cohort in Grenoble, the CEPAGE cohort, we took the opportunity of having very innovative measure of lung function in newborns were performed around 2 months old to look at the association with temperature exposure during pregnancy and also during the 4 weeks after birth. And the results indicate some effects of cold and heat exposure, but only in girls, as you can see here, with an effect of cold toward the second or beginning of third trimester, with a decreased functional residual capacity, and an effect of heat at the end of the pregnancy and also after birth. Again, associated with a decreased functional residual capacity. In terms of biological mechanisms, there are very few studies studying this biological mechanism and these pathophysiological mechanisms. We do know that body temperature above 39 degrees could be teratogen for the fetus. There are also some hypotheses to explain this association between ambient temperature and pregnancy and perinatal outcomes. Some are related to the cardiovascular changes. Pregnancy is a period where there is an intense change in terms of cardiovascular functioning. There is an increase in cardiac output, changes in blood pressure, in viscosity, and there are also some studies that have shown effect of temperature on preeclampsia and blood pressure. The placenta can also be a mediator of this association, which could be also linked to cardiovascular changes. For example, it's been shown that reduced blood flow could increase the risk of low birth weight and restriction of intrauterine growth. A few years ago, we also showed some epigenetic changes in the placenta associated with temperature exposure during pregnancy. The thermoregulation in pregnancy is also less efficient and could be one of the mechanism. There are also some hypotheses regarding the acute effect of temperature on triggering the birth, such as the release of prostaglandins and oxytocin, the release of oxidative stress molecule, inflammation, heat shock protein. And there is also an hypothesis that high temperature could increase the risk of uterine contraction. So in conclusion, although there's been a lot of progress in this field in the past 5 or 10 years, there is really a high need of more research on temperature and perinatal health. I have listed those challenges, and I think we need more research on all these challenges, including the metrics that are used, the susceptible factors that really need to be confirmed, and also on the long-term outcomes in terms of developing a child, what are the impacts on the health of the child. We also need more knowledge in terms of pathophysiological mechanisms that might lead to also find some protective factors. To my knowledge, there is very few research looking at the effect of changes in temperature on fetal programming and transgenerational inheritance that need also to be addressed. But of course, we do have enough knowledge to act and to develop intervention to reduce exposure to heat and to try to mitigate those effects. Impact studies would also be beneficial in order to measure the impact of those interventions. We also have enough knowledge to make public health a recommendation, especially regarding time spent outside, for example. To adapt the urban planning, green space can have an effect on both temperature and air pollution by decreasing the levels. And adaptation is not a cure, so we also, of course, need mitigation action. But other speakers have talked and will again talk about this, I think. I just would like to close this by underlining this commentary from some colleagues of the International Society for Environmental Epidemiology, and there are also other editorials in the same line, advocating for scientists taking also their responsibility regarding the travels and meetings and finding new ways of interacting together and working together by traveling a little bit less, or at least not too far. Thank you, and I would like also to thank the INSERM team, which I work with, and especially Ian Hoof, who did his PhD on this topic, Ariane Gilbert, and Otana Jackpour. Thank you.